Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have, as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. This week I was privileged, you could say white privileged, if you will, to be interviewed by Mr. Sonny Thomas of the Resolution Radio Network. Let's listen to part one of that interview right now.
Yes, so Kevin, welcome back to the St. Thomas Show.
I am very happy to be here, Sonny. Thank you for having me.
Well, like you said, man, I just want to touch base on a couple of things with you before we go into some of your projects there. Like I said, I've been a fan of your program for a while. I listened to one or two episodes. I'm like, wow, I like this guy. He's really got his stuff together. You have a very smooth cadence, and it's just very easy to digest. And then I contacted you and said, hey, do you mind if I include your program on? You said, sure. And so, man, I wasted no time putting it on. So you joined the likes of the political cesspool, James Edwards and Keith Alexander, as well as Radio Free South Africa with Karen Smith. So I just wanted to have a tip of the hat to you, sir, that we appreciate your work and everything you're doing there with National Vanguard as well as the National Alliance.
Well, thank you very much, Sonny. I appreciate the kind words, and I appreciate you putting our show, American Dissident Voices, on your network. I very much appreciate that. And when you say I get to the point, I will tell you that I try to get to the point in 20 or 25 minutes, but sometimes it takes me 8 or 10 hours to write a script that allows me to get to the point in 25 minutes. So there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work. It's certainly not spontaneous, but I like to do spontaneous things too, so I'm sure I'll enjoy our interview.
I can imagine your show prep, brother. I can imagine all the post-it notes, notations, and I can imagine your show prep.
Yeah.
So you guys actually have a couple of really good things to bring up recently. Obviously, along the way, the project, well, actually, let's go back. Two projects that you have been wanting to put in the works have finally started to gotten some legs and some are finished. So let's start with the first one. So what is the current progress with the actual, and correct me if the actual terminology here, the William Luther Pierce Memorial Library, or whatever you wish to call it, what is the status on that phenomenal piece?
Well, you can just call it the William Pierce Library or the WLP Library for short if you want to. The official name is the William Luther Pierce Memorial Library and Research Center, and that's being built adjacent to the National Alliance headquarters or national office down in Upper East Tennessee near Mountain City, Tennessee. And it's in the countryside. It's in the beautiful mountains. And William Pierce had a library of thousands of volumes of, in many cases, very rare books and manuscripts, some of which he used for research in his own writings and broadcasts, some of which he obtained from government book sales that actually consisted, in a few cases, of books that had been looted from National Socialist Germany in World War II and were in U.S. government hands. Dr. Pierce obtained some of those books too. And then later, Will Williams, who is the current chairman of the National Alliance, obtained several other libraries from eminent collectors and scholars who were supporters of the National Alliance. And these three other libraries, each of which had thousands of volumes, have now been integrated into the William Pierce Library. So he's literally got tens of thousands of books, many of which are extremely valuable. And the goal is to build a research center for scholars, racial nationalist scholars, people who care about the future of our people, and to preserve this knowledge and to use this knowledge for future publications, writings, etc. So we're going to build a library facility. We're going to build a research area for scholars and possibly even living quarters for people who want to come and stay there for a number of days or weeks while they do their research. And Will Williams and the National Alliance staff have been doing a lot of work on this. They're so busy, you know, they don't really have a big megaphone, so they're not bragging about the work they're doing, but they're doing a lot of work. They have leveled the site. They, first of all, of course, they bought some land, a number of acres. I'm sorry, I forget the exact acreage, but it's significant. And they have leveled the site where the buildings are going to be. They have brought in, they've trenched and brought in all the utilities. I believe it was nearly a quarter mile trench. That's an incredible amount of work to bring in the utilities to the site. They have set up a temporary tent structure for construction purposes, and they've obtained most of the materials for constructing the first building, which will be a warehouse, simply to house the books temporarily while the main research center is being built. So all of that has taken up the approximately, I guess, maybe a year since I updated you on this last. So a lot is being done, and there's still quite a bit more yet to be done.
Now, that being said, are you going to have any type of digital catalog available for the Library and Research Center?
Well, we are planning on digitizing quite a number of the volumes that have never been digitized before, and republishing some of the works that are important enough to justify the effort and are currently out of print. As to exactly what the cataloging is going to entail, obviously that would be one of the fundamental things that has to be done, is to catalog what has been accumulated and put that into form where it's easily searchable. I understand that Dr. Pierce did have a catalog. I am not aware that has been digitized.
So that being said, since you knew Dr. Pierce very well, was he a voracious reader? I mean, he's one of those guys that has probably 3 or 4 books lying around with bookmarks or dog ears at any given time. He sits down and just picks one up and picks up where it left off. I mean, is that the type of person he was when he's digesting knowledge?
Well, there was a room that was probably in excess of 25 feet long that was filled with several rows of shelves, and there was nothing but books in there. And as you walked down the aisles between the shelves, you could see places where Dr. Pierce had inserted little pieces of paper, not in every book, but in dozens upon dozens upon dozens of books, probably hundreds of books. And in some cases, you would open the book to one of those marks and you would find that he'd written some sort of note regarding it, and he had somehow integrated it in with something he had written. So yes, I don't know that I would call him a voracious reader, because I think he spent more of his time creating new work than he did reading. I think he spent more time trying to build the National Alliance than he did reading. But reading and researching was definitely a part of his creative process. So yes, when you go into the William Pierce Library, you're going to almost feel like William Pierce is looking over your shoulder. You're going to feel like he might come around the corner at any moment, because his presence is there in the notes and in the marks where he found particularly profound passages.
Well, it's good to at least have something like that, especially in physical form. Just like the Colchester Collection online at their colchestercollection.com, they are trying to put a comprehensive collection of European and white later work.
Mm-hmm.
I personally like having a physical book, because I know once it's been printed, it's basically it's testament. I'm always a little skeptical of digital books or PDFs or Kindles, because they could easily be manipulated, and only an astute or a big fan of the reader would know if something's been molested in any way. For example, when the copyright ended on Mein Kampf, for the first time since World War II, Mein Kampf was able to be reprinted in Deutschland, but it was, of course, a sanitized version. Anything related to Jews would basically be taken out of the book. Well, I said, well, hell, it defeats the whole purpose of what the book's for.
Yes.
I mean, seriously.
Well, some people with Kindles have discovered that the books they thought they owned can just be disappeared. They'll just disappear off their Kindle.
Wow.
And because of some, you know, not necessarily because of political censorship, although that's also possible, it's because a licensing agreement between Amazon and the original copyright owner might have expired. So poof, your book disappears. And you're right, things can be changed too. And so owning a physical book makes that impossible. And I guess owning a PDF where you're not actually getting it through one of these big corporate platforms where they manage the quote-unquote digital rights for you. If you just have a PDF from the Colchester Collection, and I think those guys have amassed a tremendously valuable collection of material online, then you own the PDF and nobody can change it once you have it, assuming that it's a valid copy of the original material. And I trust the guys at Colchester to make sure it is a valid copy of the original material. So I think both are important. You know, physical books have advantages and digital books have advantages. The physical books actually last longer. The material recorded on a hard drive or recorded onto a CD-ROM has a lifespan at most of a few centuries, whereas we know that books, if they're reasonably well preserved, can last for many, many centuries, even millennia under the right conditions. But of course, digital books have a great advantage too, and that advantage is, as long as they aren't crippled by digital rights management of some kind, they can just be copied, they can be duplicated, and you know, you put one of them out there, and if enough people find out about it, pretty soon there are 10,000 copies. Then a week later, there are 100,000 copies. And a week after that, there are 10 million copies. So that's a great advantage, too. I think we have to be in both areas, digital material and physical books. I think they're both important.
And out of that, like you're talking about digital being disappearing, what if I lose an MP3 player? What if my hard drive dies? Amazon, one of the problems is you can only download it once onto that particular device. You can't download it twice from Amazon Music. So if I'm on the phone and I delete it and I go to put it back on, it won't let me do it. I've also had some white nationalist songs that I've downloaded off Amazon that now no longer available. My copies are available, but any more material by that artist is gone. So if I only bought 2 songs off the record and so I want to buy the rest, the whole record's gone.
Well, it's a constant battle, really, getting information out there and keeping information is it's just like life itself. It's a struggle. There's always entropy. There are fires. There are thefts. There are censorious Jews at media companies who delete things and get rid of things. There's just the passage of time that can rot your books and make the signals on your CDs get so dim and faint that they don't work anymore. So really it falls to every generation to preserve and publish and republish and republish again the materials that future generations will need in order to understand reality as the great men of our race have learned at great cost. And this knowledge must be preserved. And so, you know, part of my life is making sure that the wisdom and the knowledge and the teaching of Dr. William Pierce is republished, published again, so a new generation can see it in new formats, and both physically and digitally, and the works of Revelo P. Oliver, and other teachers, important writers, and so it's an endless struggle. It never ends. So much of what the classical civilization that our race created brought into being has been lost, and that's a great tragedy. And we need to make sure that doesn't happen to the precious heritage we have of both written and spoken material. So that's part of what the library is about. That's really why we have the William Luther Pierce Memorial Library. We're going to preserve that material. We're going to republish what deserves to be republished, and we're going to have it in a place that, of course, you can't guarantee anything, but that is right. In a relatively safe location in the Mountain Redoubt in the 90%+ white upper eastern Tennessee area, where probably the Black Lives Matter and Antifa mobs won't be able to get to it. And if we manage to keep it preserved long enough, there won't be any more Black Lives Matter mobs or Antifa mobs, and there won't be any more Washington regime that wants to destroy us and our knowledge, and we'll outlast them. So that's my thinking.
So I think what you're doing there with the library, as well as what Colchester Collection is doing, is actually, I saw a book a number of years ago, it says How the Irish Saved the West. And apparently Irish monks had collected every single classical book they could get their hands on, whether it's books by Cicero, Aristotle, Caesar's commentaries on the Gallican Civil Wars. All these classical books of antiquity were actually, in majority of them, were saved because of monks in Ireland that were copying the books over and over and over again. I mean, just imagine if you're able to read it, like most of those are probably in Latin or Greek. Imagine the imagine of the wealth of knowledge that some of those monks would have had, but because of their vows, they didn't act upon that knowledge or try to gain any type of advantage. But think about that. Such well-read people. I mean, currently nowadays, I mean, how long is it going to be before the stereotypical book burnings start coming? And I saw a great meme at Mel Gibson, and it says, why don't you actually look at the books the Nazis burned? And that says a lot, because it's like, oh, they're burning all these books. Oh, my God. Yeah, dude, it's smut. All sorts of nasty, just degenerate type of crap. So before you bitch at the act, why don't you look at the content in which they were destroying?
Well, they didn't want their country to become a cesspool of degeneracy, which it was becoming. I mean, they had actual so-called scholarly institutes run by Jews, of course, in Weimar Germany, promoting, for example, transsexualizing surgery, where they would attempt to, they would mutilate the body of the victim in an attempt to turn him or her into the opposite sex. It's the same kind of sickness that they're pushing on the younger generation today. And
Berlin, 1920s all over again.
Yeah, so the National Socialists said, to hell with that, and we're going to put these books where they belong. And so they did the right thing. What can I say? And they saved their people. At least they saved their people for a couple of decades. Now, things are bad in Germany again. But then again, maybe the war isn't over yet. So we shall see. But you're right that they're right about the kinds of books the National Socialists didn't want to have in their schools and have pushed on the public. And it's totally the opposite now in the West, in the United States and all the other countries of the West. Any book that tends to promote the health and the survival of the founding race of our civilization is looked down upon by the powers that be. It's if they can, they'll censor it through the corporations that have essentially monopolized the channels of popular information, the media, social media, and major publishing, television, and the press. Yes, small publishers can still put this stuff out, and Cosmotheist Books, which is the book publishing arm of the Cosmotheist Church and is associated with the National Alliance, and I do work for them. We have faced incredible hurdles just to be able to sell our books online. Amazon has censored many of our titles. We can't sell via Amazon anymore, and Amazon is almost a monopoly. And so that's what's, healthy books are censored. Healthy books are essentially burned. They're not actually physically burned, but they're suppressed, and it amounts to the same thing. And but it's healthy books that are being destroyed in this country. It's not just that Amazon has banned them. It's that the financial services companies, the credit card companies, which are associated with the banks, have basically denied us the right to use credit cards to sell our books online. What's next? Are we going to be forbidden from using credit cards to buy food at the grocery store too? You know what? It wouldn't surprise me. But what they've done, and we have had to go around them. Basically, we sell books two ways, the old-fashioned way, by asking people to send a check or money order in the mail. And so far, they haven't figured out a way to get the U.S. Postal Service to stop us from selling our books through the mail. Although, who knows, they may be thinking about that too. We also accept cryptocurrency payments, which is another way to do an end run around the banks. You've been listening to part one of my interview with Mr. Sonny Thomas of the Resolution Radio Network. Tune in next week for part two, right here on American Dissident Voices.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people, 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine, a place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of woman who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers, and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs. Then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us, are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books. And the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you, we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got in power in Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a butt. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces, they just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for the for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.